This is HDN.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the wackily chain.
And look who dropped into the Beaver Bank bunker, our old friend Rodney Habib, pet nutritional blogger and
Renaissance man.
Man about town.
What a nostalgic feeling, man. This feels awesome. It is great seeing you guys again.
Welcome to the Beaver Bank bunker.
You know what, man? This place is like phenomenal. I gotta snap some pictures and show them to my supporters, man. They have to see this place. It is a really, really cool place.
And I'd like to welcome all of the Rodney Habib supporters that are listening to the podcast. Hopefully you'll stick around. Even when Rodney's not on the show, we're still going to try to keep it entertaining, honestly. Now, last time I saw you, Rodney, you were speaking at a rally downtown. Tell us about that. You were on the news.
Well, yeah, it was the Monsanto March that we just had that was held all over the world. You know what? It was super cool, man. I've never done a rally before.
No,
I got to, the night before, we got to sit down, Reggie and I and the dogs, and put together some wonderful signs for the march. And then I got to speak to the city about what we've talked about all the time on In the Dish when we'd have our shows talking about genetically modified foods and ingredients like that and the importance of it. It was awesome. It was a big turnout, and it was super cool walking down the streets.
Yeah.
Speaking at a rally must be neat, too. Did everybody go, yeah?
Oh, man. After everything you said? Absolutely. There was some actor that was in front of me, Bill Carr, I believe.
He
had people all riled up and chanting and cheering. And here's me with my notes and pulling all my notes and all my papers flopping out of my pockets. And I'm like, we're supposed to get the crowds rallied up here. So, yeah, man, it was super cool. Actually, I went out there and everybody was great. Everyone that turned out,
it was very cool for everybody except for the poor bride who was having her wedding there that day.
The poor bride,
God bless her, didn't know it was going on. Her wedding was planned. All the guests are there. She's about to get married, and all of a sudden, this crowd of marching people with signs come streaming down the stairs.
So I guess, Rodney, if you have a whole crowd of people following you, not much you can do.
Right.
Until now. Now, on this podcast, your chance to apologize to the whole wedding party.
Yeah, you know, I felt terrible about it. I'm sure the organizers felt terrible. These poor people are getting married right at that time. And then they look up and here comes this swarm, this mountain of people heading down their way as they're getting all their photographies and their wedding vows going on. It was
poor girl.
So if you're listening, we're very sorry. The good news is they did make national news, I think, that night. So the wedding was advertised.
Wasn't just on the news that we saw you recently, Rodney, you're all over the place. You put a photo online that went viral. You basically did something that I've been wanting to do for so long.
You renegade, you.
Well, you know what? You actually gave me the idea. Every single time when we did our shows, our very first show that we did was actually on chicken jerky.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I remember you said to me, you know, I would really love to go out there with a marker and...
Don't say chicken jerky. Dexter's still a bit sensitive.
It's okay, bud.
His kidneys are still recovering.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I remember we were just blogging the other day and... NBC News came out with a post and it went viral all over the internet.
NBC picked up the photograph.
NBC, well, before the photograph, actually what got me into doing the photograph was there were three humans that got very ill and very sick with this chicken jerky.
They were eating dog food, basically?
There was two toddlers and an adult who all three ate it.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden it sparked the news because these humans got sick. One of the toddlers had salmonella. The other one had like GI problems and liver problems, high fevers. In fact, one of the toddlers that was so ill had the same symptoms as the same dogs in the house who were also ill from eating the same jerky.
Wow.
So it affected everybody in the household. So NBC got a hold of it. They posted it, long story short, showed that 1,000 dogs more have died. And since October, since we did our last shows, 1,800 more reports of sick and dead animals. Mm. And you think by now, you know, the word would have been spread and everyone would just stay away from them, but it hasn't. I mean, that stuff is still selling all over the place. You still go places and it's selling off the shelves. So I was angry. Unlike myself, you know, I'm very PC type of guy. I
try to color within the lines, usually.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, I know I remember my manager, Mandy, was there with me and she's like, what are you going to go do? And I'm like, no, you know what? Just leave it with me right now. I jumped in my car. I printed off a little sign. I should have went with the Sharpie, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I went in with a sign. I walked right into Costco and I was, you know, I walked in there. I had to see with my own eyes, is this stuff still selling the way it is? Or has, you know, with social media today, 1.5 billion people on Facebook. I mean, every newsfeed you go on, stay away from jerky. Is it still selling?
Mm-hmm.
So I walk into the aisles and I look there and the rack is half empty.
Oh yeah. Every time I go into Costco, I see that.
Yeah. The rack is half empty. So I could have just easily put a sign there that said, hey, you know what? Don't buy this stuff. It's going to kill your your pets, yada, yada, yada. But I didn't want to go that far. I wanted to plant the seed. So I just put a sign on there that said, hey, just Google chicken jerky, two words, and see what comes up. And man, let me tell you.
And then you took a photograph of it.
I took a photograph. Actually,
put it on your Facebook
page.
Yeah,
I stepped back actually and I watched for a second because I wanted to see, people, if they would actually do it. And actually the first two people, literally within seconds, that's how quickly they sell it, walked up, looked at it, kind of stepped back. And then you saw them pull out their phones and they were texting. I thought it was hilarious.
Nice.
I'm watching this and then all of a sudden I get a tap on my shoulder. You outside.
Oh, from the from a Costco employee.
I mean, within seconds, it was like the SWAT team came out very quickly. Yeah, I was asked to leave, and then they said that they were going to, you know, review the matter and whatever. But the point was, when I went home, I posted the picture because mm-hmm. I knew they were going to take it down within seconds. But the biggest stage in the world, social media, it's immortalized on social media. Yeah. So I posted it on social media for the world to see. Hey, look, this is still going on, and well. It went viral. Literally, the photos started being copied. And I think we posted one of the photos where somebody in Calgary took mm-hmm. it and posted mm-hmm. it in Calgary. And then I got another photo from British Columbia and I got another photo from the United States. And then people started.
So people are actually copying what you did, not just resending your picture, but they're actually doing it at their local Costco.
Taking their own action.
You've got it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that is terrific.
This is where the pet owners have actually stood up and said, enough is enough, right? I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, our pets can't talk. We have to talk for them, right?
Yeah.
So these pet owners got up, inspired by it. They went and started posting it. The next day, Costco got lambasted by my supporters, pet advocates. I mean, you never mess around with pet owners, man. I mean, you know, you know, they have hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Well, hell has no fury like a pet owner scorned.
You got it.
I mean, you guys know how you felt when Dexter's kidneys were being obliterated.
Mm-hmm. Dexter almost died. Little bit of history here. Dexter almost died. And our vet, who's a great guy, had no idea what the problem was. Yep. I know, Dexter. It's okay, buddy.
It's all over, baby. All over.
I'll speak for you today. Anyway, we had no idea. He was in intensive care. He had the IV in his paw and the whole bit. So we tackled the infection with antibiotics. We came home and started giving him the chicken jerky again, not knowing that that was, in fact, the problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't until we saw Marketplace that did a special on these chicken jerkies. And I looked and realized it was the exact same package that we had that I had just fed Dexter, who we just got back from the hospital.
Right, right.
And so we threw them away and we met you. I think it was just a week after that. And we did a show about these chicken jerkies. How long ago was that?
It was about 2 years ago. Guess what? It's still, people don't understand it. I mean, if you go and look at the comments today and you read the comments under the script, what's wrong with chicken jerkies? I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I thought they had been recalled. I mean, doesn't a recall mean that you can no longer sell them?
Yeah, you know, there's something about the way karma works as well, because when we did our last show on the chicken jerky, do you remember the very next day? You know, that show really hit a nerve. We had like over 100,000 listeners on that show.
Yes.
And the next day, do you remember the FDA, or maybe the couple days afterwards, the FDA issued a recall?
A voluntary recall, though. They weren't pressured to do it. They did it by themselves.
Exactly. Absolutely. And they pulled them off the shelves and they were gone for a couple months and they made their way back, right? Ironically enough, after that photo went viral on the internet that we did with the chicken jerky, now I'm not saying that it had to do with it, and I'm a big believer in karma. The next day, PetSmart, owned by Mars Inc., one of the largest manufacturers in the world, they announced they are not going to be carrying any more Chinese chicken jerky treats anymore.
Well, once again, you mentioned chicken jerky.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So they've stopped.
They've announced, not till next year, I don't know why it takes so long, but until March 2015.
And how many dogs are going to die between now and then?
I know. You know, it's mind-boggling to me. The steps that happened after that photo went viral, you know, it's... Everything happens for a reason. And so I got, you know, after I was asked to leave, I think I told you, my supporters went on there and the pet owners went on there and they lambasted Costco US and Costco Canada. I mean, you went on there, there was hundreds of comments that were all over there, maybe even thousands that were removed. And more pet people got on there and it started riling them up. I got a call the next day and it was from one of the manufacturers who I posted their jerky.
Ooh.
And they were very upset with me.
I imagine likely.
Oh, absolutely. Right. They were like, you know, you put our product there, you have no proof their type of jerky was affecting the animals. So for me, it's about credibility.
Yeah.
You know, the same company will take the bag of jerky and stick flags all over it and stick Canadian flags all over it.
To make it look like it's from Canada.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the back, on the bottom, in the tiniest little print ever, it says made in China.
Right.
So let's talk about credibility. Like, are they nuts to actually say to me, right? I mean, I'll be able to judge somebody by their actions and what they do. So why are you tricking the pet owner? Why are you putting Canadian flags all over your bag of jerky? And then in the back, on the tiny print, on the bottom, it says made in China.
But even if it is made in Canada, it doesn't necessarily mean that the chicken was sourced in Canada. The chicken is likely sourced in China.
Or processed in China as well.
You've got it. Absolutely. If we're going to make chicken pot pie, and we buy chicken and we bring it into Canada and we don't do anything into it and just package it, we have to write product of China if it came from China on the packaging. But now if we went and got that chicken from China and brought it to Canada and then or the US and we made chicken pot pies out of it and we filled it in there and we altered it and we baked it into something, now it becomes a product of Canada or the United States of America because we altered it. So we can bring these meats in, we can bring these foods in and we can alter them, and especially in the pet food realm of things. I mean, there's so much going on that the pet owner doesn't know. It's not, you know, I'm not trying to say that everybody out there is bad. There's some great people out there doing some great things, but ultimately there are some bad people doing some really bad things. Yes. And who's paying the price? Our animals.
And the chicken jerky itself, not every dog is going to be affected by it. There's only a certain number of dogs that have a reaction to it or get sick from it. But why play Russian roulette with your pet?
Right. You know, when I was trying to go over the numbers quick, it was showing me the problems that happen. 60% of the, you know, of the pets will have GI problems and liver problems. 30% will have kidney disease. 10% will have neurological or skin conditions. There's also a majority that don't react right away. There's a majority that it takes a while to build up. When we spoke to Susan Thixton, you know, at that time, they thought it was the sulfa drug and that animals were having a reaction to it, right? I mean, Dexter yourself, you saw what was going on. You had no idea it was the jerky. So how many pets out there are actually dying from the jerky? And the owners have no idea.
And it's not just the owners. I didn't know it was the chicken jerky. The vet didn't know it was the chicken jerky. The specialist that we took him to didn't know it was the chicken jerky. They treated the symptoms. And as I said to you before, the second we got him home, I gave him one of those nice big juicy, I mean, it even has grill marks or little cuts on the top of it to make it look so healthy. Right. And it says it contains glucosamine and all these wonderful things. I'm not too sure, but does it not say healthy on the label? Does it not say for the health of your dog?
Absolutely, it does.
Now, what is it about the chicken from China that makes it so dangerous? Why is a chicken that's raised in China different than a chicken that's raised here in Canada?
7 years. The USDA has been trying to figure that out. 7 years and they still don't have an answer. Yet all these animals keep dying. But yet you ask people what's going on, and it's because it's the way you can source chicken. If we want to start making chicken jerky, well, we go to one of the farms and we want to make money. We say to the farmer, do you got any dead chickens on your lot there? Because in pet food, you can put 4D meats. This is no surprise to anybody that, you know, that does any research in the pet industry. You can use dead, diseased, dying, or disabled chickens. The farmer, well, he can't just throw them out. They're dead and diseased. So we can go pick them up. We can bring them back to our little manufacturing plant, cut them up, bag them, and we can make some serious cash. I mean, think about it. You're packaging a dead chicken. You're selling it. Imagine the markup on that. And then the big retail box outlet that buys it, imagine what they can sell it for.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rodney, that's what we can do here in Canada. That's completely legal to do?
You can do that anywhere in the world if you follow the AFCO regulations, which means that meats can be 4D meats, dead, diseased, dying, and disabled. If you were to take the governing book and read it, those animals don't have to be alive. A lot of these animals don't even pass inspection. You go and you buy something and it says, oh, this was inspected in a USDA certified facility. And you say, oh, perfect. Yeah, but it was inspected. Was it approved?
Oh, exactly. Inspected, but, inspected, and this little chicken is sitting in a wheelchair hooked up to an IV and smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, was it approved? Was it rejected? It doesn't tell you that.
To add to that, in China, we're not even allowed to send inspectors there at all, are we?
Absolutely not.
So we have no idea what they're doing in China.
Absolutely not. They will not allow you to go in there and to meddle and to figure out what's going on. And that's what makes it so, you know, it makes it so frustrating, because when you read the back of an ingredient label, it says, well, just chicken.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what happened to that chicken. What was that chicken eating? What type of antibiotic? I mean, it's always antibiotics. It's always something. Now, lately, the FDA found something called amantadine in there. And amantadine is used for Parkinson's disease and influenza in humans. And the officials in the FDA saying, well, that shouldn't be in there. And that's what drives me bonkers. And that's what drove me to go down to this box store to stick this on there, to have other pet owners go out there and start sticking it on places like that. Because ultimately, you know, we have to stand up and do something. The most frustrating part is how many people don't know. New pet owners, people like that, you go in, you see these treats. It looks like a great deal. You read the packaging. It sounds phenomenal.
100% chicken. It's healthy, wholesome. It's good.
Right? You give it to your guy and they love it, right? And they do well on it. You know, it even goes as far as if something does happen, what they can actually do. Because I got a call the other day from a customer, a client who gave me a call and said to me, Rod, look, I was feeding my dog these jerky treats and he was dribbling all over the house and he was dribbling all over the beds. I pick up the phone, I called the manufacturer and they said, well, you know, you got to prove it and whatever. So he's like, well, I went to my doctors and my vet and we took him off of it. Instantly, the dog got better. So I called the manufacturer back and so they agreed to pay for my vet bills and everything like that. So they sent me over a form and I signed the form that said, okay, I won't take this any further and I'll stop right now and you'll pay for my vet bills.
So it's worth it to them. Wow. To pay people off than to make an issue of this because they're wrong.
You know what I mean? Like, this was the same thing that happened in 2007, the big malamine scandal that we talked about, the whole thing that got me started. They destroyed tens of thousands of pets across America, and poor people had no money, and so they had to pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, maybe even more for their pets. So the pet food manufacturers came out and said, okay, sorry, look, we messed up. Here's a check. I hope your pet gets better, but sign this, sign here, sign there. And that's it. You know, it's one of those situations that's so dastardly if you look into it, right? It's one of the most frustrating situations out there. But I the thing that confuses me in the whole matter is what can we ultimately do to get the message out so people stop feeding these treats?
Well, last time you said that, I came up with the, or we came up with the idea to put a sign at Costco.
You got it.
You went ahead and did it. So what's next, Rodney? I mean, we're on a podcast now. We're no longer on radio. We no longer have sponsors that can pull their advertising. Although if there are any sponsors out there that would like to advertise on the podcast, we're open to...
We're open to any and all.
Any and all offers whatsoever. I want to know if they still have those in Costco. Yeah. Have you been in since? Are you allowed?
Like I said, nobody ever wants to lose their Costco deal. So, you know, all joking aside... I did get a call and it was a little slap on the wrist and they said, welcome back. But I really wanted to know what was going on. So I went back in and guess what? They're right there, right in the front, still selling, still great price, great value.
What gets me is I see them in people's carts and I don't want to say anything because I'm like you. I don't want to go, excuse me, that thing in your cart there, that's killing your dog. And then, well, you've just invited yourself either to get locked up or to...
Knuckle sandwich.
Or to get into a good half-hour conversation, you know, involving the internet and the whole bit.
Yeah.
You don't want it, you don't want them to get offended. You don't want to sit... I talk to people all the time that'll say, you know what I did today? I saw somebody with that in their cart and I said to them, you're going to kill your pet with that, right? Yeah, somebody might look at you and be like, you're crazy. And then they buy it and they keep going. But if you want to be civil about it, just look at them and say, hey, excuse me, Google.
It just gives them the tools to make up their own mind.
Absolutely. You go on there and you Google it, man. There is pages upon pages of things that are happening right now and the animals that are dying and the pets that are suffering from these treats.
Okay, how about this, Rodney? What we're going to do is we're going to post a picture. We'll post the poster that you had at Costco.
All right.
And anybody can print it out and put their own copy of that poster on the chicken jerky that they see, not just at Costco. We're not picking on just Costco.
No, no.
They're everywhere. You can get this chicken jerky anywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's a stance, right? Here's a way for us, the pet owners. This is our voice, right? I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, we can do two things. You can either predict the future or you can dictate the future. We can predict it and say, this will go away one day, nothing will happen. Or from this point, we can stand up and dictate this. We can come out and say, we're the one that's hold that dollar. We're the consumer. We have the power at the end of the day, whether we want to support this or we don't want to support it. But every single person, if they were to actually stand up in this little challenge that you have, I think that would have a massive impact.
All right. Jamieandlisa.ca. That's where you find our blog. We're going to post that poster on there. You can print it out. And let's get this campaign going, and maybe these big companies that continue to sell this chicken jerky are going to stand up and take notice.
Exactly. Shame them into taking it away. Hey, should take a moment to plug your business as well. Don't forget, Planet Paws.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, by the way, if you'd like to advertise on our podcast, Planet Paws, you can step right up and go for it. Planet Paws is so zen. Every time we walk in there, you have like fountains and it's Zamfir music playing in the background practically. Our dogs just immediately calm down.
They start doing the downward dog yoga pose.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about Planet Pause, where it is and what's up with you.
Ah, man, it's my place of zen. It is my visual center for all my wackiness and all my blogs and things like that we post. We're located in Dartmouth. We're right at the top of the hill up in Shuby Park, which is my favorite park in the whole world. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place for people, like when we write our health tips or we write some of our blogs and things like that, you know, it's a great place for people to come up and give them an explanation on things that they can do, you know, and then maybe if they've got a shop or something next to them, at least, you know, we can come up, we can give you a little bit of education on it. Then you can go down and shop wherever you want with the tools and the knowledge on how you're going to be able to present things.
You know what? I've discovered that as well, because we have places closer to Beaver Bank that sell a lot of the products that, that you do. Everybody speaks so highly of Planet Pause. It's not like you guys are in competition. It's like, oh, Rodney, you know, I agree with him. You know, you're all selling good food that's nutritious and good for our pets, and you're all on the same side.
Oh, man. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to support local. You know, if we can support our farmers, then even better. Because now our farmers are starting to stand up and make a stance here. And our local butchers are starting to stand up. And they're starting to see all these problems that are happening. They're like, hey, you want grass-fed meats. You want fresh meats. Here, I'll get it for you, right? And pet owners themselves are even inspiring themselves to start making these foods themselves. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, you know, if people work together, if people help support each other, I mean, there's, you know, there's an ultimate business. It doesn't matter what business it is that you have, you know, if you're supporting local, you're supporting your community, you're growing your community, everybody benefits.
Rodney Habib, thanks so much for dropping by the Beaver Bank Bunker. Hopefully you won't be a stranger.
You know what? I always want to say this. Jamie and Lisa, thanks so much for having me, and I'd love to come back.
Awesome.
Beautiful.